Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. Today is July 12th, 2021. It is 9 a.m. And we are gathered in the Ann Basker Auditorium, Board of County Commissioners. All three commissioners are present. Commissioner Fowler, Commissioner Beartree, and Commissioner DeYoung. Let's get started by doing the Pledge of Allegiance. So please rise and join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. This meeting of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules as they apply to remand hearings. A summary of the rules is as follows. The agenda today is at item number one, land use hearing. Hearings are conducted in accordance with Josephine County Code Chapter 19.3, public hearings, a copy of which is available from the staff. LUBA remand hearing to the Board of Commissioners for the decision for a conditional use permit authorized a 25 space recreational vehicle park on land zoned exclusive farm EF located at 7346 New Hope Road. Josephine County Assessor's Records map is 37-06-24, tax lot 301. The property owner is Majestic Destinations LLC. And I'm going to go through the hearing rules so we all understand. Item here, all participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures contained in Chapter 1931 of the Josephine County Code as it applies to public hearings. Planning staff present has a copy of those rules. Objections and abstentions. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the board to hear this matter? Seeing none, does any board member wish to abstain from hearing this matter? Commissioners? Seeing none. Basis for the hearing. The hearing today involves a decision by this board, which was appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA. As a result of this appeals, LUBA has remanded the county decision for further consideration. Scope of this hearing, this is an evidentiary hearing. The remand application for this hearing requests the board to consider new evidence. Parties may testify, introduce documents, and call witnesses. The hearing is strictly limited to the issues specified by LUBA in its remand decision. All evidence and arguments must relate to the remand issue or issues. No other issues will be considered. The following is the usual procedures for taking evidence and hearing arguments. Order of procedure today will be the planning staff will provide a report regarding the remand. The applicant is allowed 10 minutes for argument, and each witness called by the applicant is allowed 5 minutes. Parties who oppose the applicant's request are allowed 10 minutes, and each witness called by the opposing party is allowed 5 minutes. The applicant is allowed 5 minutes for rebuttal. Rebuttal is at the discretion of the board. The applicant and other parties are allowed 5 minutes for summary arguments. Staff is given an opportunity to comment. The board may ask questions of staff or the participants. The board then closes the record and deliberates. The board may adjust the time above time limits at its discretion. Today we have James Black representing this. He will present the staff report. Let's see. So James, you're up. By the way, we have some people that are going to testify via Zoom, so it's going to be a little awkward, so please bear with us. We've got some people, and there's also some staff members that are available to answer questions as we go along.
Good morning, commissioners. James Black, Josephine County Planning Office. We're here today to review a remand from a LUBA case. Let me see if I can get this to work. Let me grab the mouse real quick. I have a short PowerPoint. The board, I provided a copy of that PowerPoint to each one of you. Review. Let's see if we can get this to work. There we go. The hearing information today, as we know, the nature of this hearing is to hear a LUBA remand, which is an evidentiary hearing, and it's limited to one issue. The participants of this land use hearing are the following: Paul Scott as the petitioner, Josephine County as the respondent, and the intervener respondent is Majestic Destinations LLC. The decision that we're going to be looking at was done by the Board of County Commissioners on July 15th of 2020. The summary is there was a vote of 3-0 that Commissioners Fowler, DeYoung, and Morgan denied an appeal to approve a conditional use permit for the placement of a private recreational vehicle park and campground on the described property. The remand application was submitted as follows. Majestic Destination is the applicant. Applicant's representative, Corrine Selko of Merge Law Group. I believe she's with us online via the Zoom today. The property is located at 7346 New Hope Road. Background to the appeal: a conditional use permit application was submitted for a recreational vehicle campground on June 26th of 2019. The director's decision dated November 6th approved the conditional use permit with conditions based on the application meeting certain standards and criteria. An appeal of the director's decision was filed on November 25th of 2019, objecting to the decision of approval. The Board of County Commissioners held a land use hearing on May 18th, 2020, and by a vote of 3-0, denied the appeal to allow the approval of the conditional use permit. That decision is in your staff report under Exhibit A. At the LUBA remand, the board's decision was appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals by Paul Scott on March 9th, 2021, LUBA remanded the county's decision for further action based on one assignment of error. This was the third assignment of error of approximately five, I believe. Exhibit A in your staff report is a copy of the LUBA's decision. As such, the applicant submitted a remand application on April 23rd. And within 45 days of the final opinion and order as per section 1933-130A Josephine County Code. The procedure today, the board will hear this remand as authorized under section 1933-130B Josephine County Code. The remand hearing will involve the introduction of new evidence by either party in the LUBA appeal. Per section 1933-130F, the county is subject to a 90-day time limit. Final action must be completed by the county commissioners by July 22nd on this remand. The applicant may request a time extension for a reasonable amount of time as per the code as needed. The analysis of this hearing is limited to the issue regarding section 1964-010-T7, in that a campground may be occupied by a tent, travel trailer, or yurt or RV. Separate water and electric service hookups shall not be provided to individual campsites, except that electrical service may be provided to yurts. The same restriction is found under OAR 66-00-33013019B. The county's decision to allow separate hookups was based on findings that the intent of this requirement is to prevent an intensive use of the land that would otherwise be used for farming. Considering most of the soil in the subject property is not suitable for farm use, Majestic Destination proposed separate water and electrical hookups to the sites. RVs are less intrusive RVs are a less intrusive use than yurt structures, which are allowed electrical hookups. Per Majestic's narrative, Linn County Farm Bureau versus Linn County 63 OR Luba 347 in 2011 affirms that an RV campsite on farm zone property may have an individual electric and water hookups on the basis that electricity and water system can easily be converted back into farmland. In summary, the applicants represent Emerge Lot Group has submitted a proposal to address this issue and proposes a shared hookup between sites as opposed to separate. Staff also provides comments by Paul Scott regarding 1964-040-T1 through 7. Mr. Scott states the proposal is subject to all seven requirements under 1964-40-T. Mr. Scott states that item T4 has not been satisfied. The BCC shall review the evidence submitted and make findings based on Luba's interpretation of this code section. If the board has any questions regarding this at the moment.
Commissioners?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, James. Because this happened before I got in here, so I'm kind of playing a little catch up. What conditions were set by the director at the beginning of this?
What conditions? There's quite a list of those conditions. Let me find them here real quick. It was actually the Board of County Commissioners set a list of approximately 25 conditions in your staff report, Exhibit A-17.
A-17.
Yeah.
Were those conditions recommended by the director by planning to the commissioners?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So they just kind of rubber stamped what planning had to say.
Most of those conditions are based around the construction timelines, things the applicant needed to do prior to getting his development permit.
And has the conditions for septic been changed or reconsidered? Because I'm kind of seeing that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, as of today, these conditions were based on the park being built out using individual campsites, meaning that every site will have one water, one septic. So these conditions are basically, that's what we have in front of us on these conditions. Now, given the Luba appeal, we probably need to make, the board would need to make a finding. If you agree that the separate, we know that the Luba said you cannot have separate individual campsites to each individual thing. However, the applicant wants to do shared. That's the key that this application is considering today.
So the original for 25 sites, it would be 25 septic tanks. That was the original.
I can have the applicant speak to more of that. It's not going to be 25 septic. They had a community septic system.
Okay.
Yeah, for all of that. We are talking more about electrical and water to each individual campsite.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. I'm getting there.
Yeah. And just for clarity, that is the remand, is that it states that portion of our code says it can't have individual. And we'll get through this. Let them talk about it.
Right.
But that's the key, I think, on this one, and that's the portion that they sent back, was that it didn't meet the individuals not allowed.
Correct.
And Mr. Scott has that in Exhibit D, I think, or E. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
D, E, excuse me. Comments from the petitioner. You can read that in there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? With that, we'll turn it over to the proponent, applicant. You'll have 10 minutes to... And that would be Mr. Okay.
Great, thank you. Hi, my name is Corinne Selko with Emerge Law Group, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Majestic Destinations LLC, and its principal, Pat Bernard. If I might be able to ask, is there any way that I could view the commissioners? If it's not possible, that's fine. It's just that, there you go. That's helpful. It's nice to be able to see who I'm speaking to. So thank you. Chair DeYoung, members of the commission, thank you for having me this morning. Okay. I'd like to thank, what was that?
I said, welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Mr. Black for his very thorough background of the case and the issue at hand. As you know, this is the second time that this application is before you. And to reiterate Mr. Black, you know, this very commission is the one, or this very board of county commissioners is the one who denied the prior appeal, thereby approving the proposal. And essentially by approving the proposal, it means that you had previously found that this proposal met all of the applicable approval criteria.
If I could correct you just for one minute, Commissioner Beartrigger is new to this. First time he does, Commissioner Morgan is now a state representative. So Commissioner Beartrigger has not heard this before.
Okay. Thank you for that. Well then, I'll be sure to kind of not skip over things that I think everyone has heard before. But in essence, the county approved this proposal before, and it was appealed to LUBA. And on appeal, LUBA rejected all of the other arguments and challenges to your decision, except for one. And it is that sole issue, which is the subject of this remand hearing today. And as you've heard from Mr. Black, that issue is whether or not the applicant's proposal complies with the rules that essentially prohibit separate utility hookups to individual campsites. That's the sole issue. And in your prior decision, you had looked at that criterion, and you had decided that the intent of both the county code that Mr. Black cited, which mimics the Oregon administrative rule regarding private campgrounds, those rules that prohibit separate utility hookups to individual campsites, you found that the intent was to prevent intensive uses on land that would otherwise be used for farming. And you also found that the soil on the subject site was not, the majority of it was not usable for farming, which is why you found that you thought that the original proposal complied with those rules. And to be clear, in LUBA's decision, LUBA took no issue with what you found to be the intent of those rules. They didn't reject what you found to be the intent of those rules. You're the governing body of the county, and you interpret your code. And so that intent still remains to prevent intensive uses on land that would otherwise be used for farming. What LUBA did have an issue with was that they found that you just can't simply disregard the plain language of the rules. And that plain language, again, is that you can't have separate utility hookups to individual campsites. So, you know, what does that mean? I have found no case law that discusses what that portion of the rule means when it says that it prohibits separate utility hookups to individual campsites. And that's likely because they're looking at sort of the plain language of the rule. And when you look at the plain language of the rule, I looked at Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, the plain meaning of separate means not shared with another or individual. And the dictionary definition of individual is intended for one person. So what the applicant has done on remand is the applicant has slightly revised the proposal. Instead of having separate individual utility hookups to each individual RV space, the new site plan includes a shared utility hookup pedestal. So the original site plan showed 25 RV spaces. The new site plan reduces that number to 24 to make it an even number so that they can be shared, and reduces the number of utility pedestals by over half. So originally with 25 RV spaces, there were 25 utility pedestals, one for each space. The new layout would remove each utility pedestal for each individual site and only have 12 total utility pedestals to be shared among two RV spaces. So not only does this revised layout comply with and meet the standard imposed by the rules prohibiting separate utility hookups for each individual campsite, but it also more specifically meets the intent that you'd already found that the rules implement. And that intent is to make sure that there aren't intensive uses on land that would otherwise be used for farming. You found that the land wasn't really usable for farming in the first place, but by reducing the number of utility pedestals and the number of support systems for these RV spaces, the intent of the rules is even further realized. It's important to note that the revised layout only changes, you know, really the only change is in the number of utility pedestals and the removal of one space. The basic layout of the site remains virtually unchanged. And so all of the other criteria that you had found had been met before still remains met. There has been no other change to the site other than to reduce the spaces by one and reduce the number of utility pedestals by over half to 12. The way that this revised layout works, it shows that not only does it comply directly with the plain language of the rules at issue, it complies, as I mentioned before, with the intent that the commissioners found of the rules themselves. And by complying with this one issue, and you've already found in the past that all the other issues had been met, all the other criteria had been met, there is no basis to deny this application at this time. I'll briefly comment on the written comments made by Mr. Scott during the notice period, which is also in your packet. As Mr. Black mentioned in the beginning, Mr. Scott mentions that one of the approval criteria for a private campground had not been met. And that argument fails for two reasons. It's outside of the scope of this remand hearing, but it fails for two reasons. In Luba's decision, Luba had already found that the county correctly concluded that the proposal is a private campground. And nothing in the changes that we've made to the site plan changed the fact that this is a private campground. That's on page 3 of Luba's decision. On page 6 of Luba's decision, they state that the proposed RV park has access to the Applegate Golf Course through neighboring lot 102 for recreational use by occupants. And that contradicts Mr. Scott's comment that this RV park would have no access to a natural amenity. On page 7, Luba goes ahead and concludes, this is evidence upon which a reasonable person would rely to determine that the use is a campground for temporary overnight use adjacent to an accessible recreational area. So Luba itself has already found that this proposed RV park is adjacent to a natural recreational area, the Applegate Golf Course. And finally, in footnote 3 on page 7, Luba states that the petitioner doesn't argue that the golf course does not constitute an outdoor natural amenity. So since the petitioner could have raised that argument before Luba the first time around, but did not, he's precluded from raising that issue here now. For these reasons, we believe that this new site plan fully complies with all of the applicable approval criteria, that there is no basis to deny the applicant's proposal, and we respectfully request that you approve this revised application today. This was the legal portion of the presentation, and Mr. Bernard, Majestic Destinations principal, would like to say a few words to the commissioners on a personal note. So unless there are questions for me, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Bernard.
Yeah, let's turn it over. We'll turn it over with item D as questions of staff and direct it to you. Item B is applicants. That's you, Mr. Bernard. You would like to take the microphone for 5 minutes?
First of all, good morning to my wife, Leah, commissioners, Herman.
Do you want to make sure that microphone's on?
Herman.
Red.
Hello.
There you go. Yeah.
Good morning, commissioners, and my wife, Leah, and Kareem, and all the other participants, the planning department. I'd just like to read a short paragraph. Like, she covered the law pretty much there. I'm just going to read a short paragraph, maybe even to help Herman get caught up with the last time we met, and I'll proceed with that right now. I'm happy to reiterate my zealous support for the proposed campground at 7346 New Hope Road. It's been approximately 14 months since the first appeal hearing regarding this conditional use permit. At that time, businesses were shutting down. Most sports and large gatherings were prohibited. As the surviving businesses are beginning to open again, how much more would a project that provides safe temporary lodging for visitors to our local tourist-dependent economy be desperately needed to help kickstart our great local businesses and also help sustain Applegate River Golf Club as a continued asset to the community. Due to the recent closing of Red Mountain Golf Course, we are the last 9-hole course within close proximity to Grants Pass. And I once again reiterate the need for this project and respectfully request your continued support in the light of the new evidence provided. Thank you.
Thank you. This time I'd like to open it up to anybody else in favor of the applicant. Anybody else like to speak? And questions of staff?
Am I permitted to speak?
Yes, you are. Yes, if you're in favor of, you're in others in favor of, I guess. If that's where you are, that's where you, this is the time.
Jim Brumback, 164 Teal Lane here in Grants Pass, Oregon. I use the golf course regularly, so I have a vested interest. And I just want to reiterate what I heard Pat saying, that it's just really valuable that we have a 9-hole golf course, and the 24 RV spaces would bring in tourists. It's going to be valuable for our economy. I don't see any reason why it's going to harm anything. And I really hope that we can get on with this project. I think it's going to be good. Yes, of course, for the golf course, it's going to be good for golfers like me, but it's going to be good for our county, bringing in tourists and money to our region in a time where we really need that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, both of you. Any other questions of staff? From anybody?
I have comments. I don't know if this is the correct time for comments.
We could probably, if you want comments in regards to proponents, yes, because we haven't heard from the opponents yet. So let's take that
let's
after.
Let's take the opponents.
Let's take the opponents first. Opposition parties, you have 10 minutes to speak.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My first question is...
Sir, would you identify yourself, please?
Sir?
Your name?
Paul Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
And I live at 1690 Southside Road.
Thank you.
First thing, I received this notice from the county, and it says it's restricted only to the people who participated in the LUBA hearing. So this gentleman, I don't believe, was in that hearing. So I don't understand why... I could have brought people also, but I didn't do
and
that.
And you're absolutely right.
Because this says you cannot have those people.
You're absolutely right. I apologize for that.
All right. So, of course, I didn't have any preview as to what proposal was going to be made here, but now that I hear it, the question I have or statement I have to Miss, is it, I'm sorry, I Kelko, is that as she elaborated on this, they're going to bring pedestals, I assume, between RVs out there and hook up to each RV. So this addresses the origin of those services, not where they terminate. So when you get into the code of saying separate services, it doesn't matter whether the service originated between those RVs or it originates 2 miles away. You cannot hook up to individual RVs. That's what the code says. Now, when we get into the code and what was acceptable, one of the things that underlies all of this is Luba's remark that the county may not disregard the code, the county code or the state codes. So bringing back my letter to Mr. Black, which referred to item number 4 in there, that there are 7 items that require or that are required to be met for it to be a county campground or a private campground. Those 7 items are not yet met. There is nothing natural about a golf course. It's a man-made item and it's maintained by a man and it's not natural at all. There are no, that's not a natural amenity. Now we can go back and figure out whether LUBA thought that or how they felt about it. I didn't think that it needed enumeration. The county planning division sent to Mr. Bernard a letter early on, and it's in the record, stating that he would have to meet all 7 provisions of 1964-040. Now, when any citizen reading that, which is what I was doing, should be able to assume if that's what the county said, that's what the county intended to do. So whether it was brought up to LUBA or not, it shouldn't have had to be. It's written in the law. It's in our code. It's in our code. It's in the state code. So there are no natural amenities on or attached to this property that can be used for recreation by any of the campers that are staying on this site. So there is no recreation for no natural amenities. It says natural amenities such as, and it even uses parks or hiking trails. the golf course provides a recreation, but that's a for-profit enterprise. That's not a natural amenity. So that's entirely different from natural amenity. But the origin, getting back to the origin of these utilities hookups, I don't think where it originates has anything to do with the fact that it cannot be hooked individually to those RV sites. And so whether you locate that pedestal between these RV sites and run out to the side, that's not going to change anything. It's still hooking up to individual RV sites. You would almost have to say only one RV at a time could use it, but you're not going to have that. So I don't see that that changes anything. You're still hooking up to the individual RV site. You're going between them in its delivery system, but you're not changing where it's being hooked up. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any others in opposition? Anybody online or anything? Okay. I don't see any. Any questions of staff? by the opponent.
Commissioners, okay. This is Augustus Ogre, legal counsel.
Yes.
If I may interject, regarding the public comment that just took place, that is not, excuse me, that's not a additional evidence or testimony. It's public record. It's a public comment. The individual who received this, the individual who spoke did not receive notice in order to be a witness to this proceeding. So that public comment should be allowed.
You want to step up to the microphone? Got to be on record, please.
I'm sorry. The letter says the hearing is open only to the parties who participated in the appeal. So the hearing is not open to anyone else for any reason. At least that's the way I read it. If I would have known that was not what I was doing here, I might have brought several people myself.
Augustus?
It's not additional testimony in regards to this particular issue that's the subject of the remand. It's simply public. It's simply public comment as a proponent or an opponent. This is an open public meeting.
So Augustus, I guess what you're saying is that we need to look at that as not as testimony, but as comment.
That's correct, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is a difference.
Well, this is a very misleading letter because other people may have wanted to join us. And when I was asked by several of the people, I mean, we have 50 people that have signed in opposition to this that live right near it. And I told them, I said, the letter says only, and it emphasizes it. It's emphasized in the letter. It's in bold print. So I didn't get to bring anybody else.
Would the remedy be to disregard Mr. Brumback's comments? And
either that or have another hearing.
The remedy, commissioners, would be to hold open the record for an additional reasonable amount of time to allow a public comment.
Okay. Not have another hearing, but just hold it open to public comment?
That's correct.
Any suggested time period?
That's at the discretion of the commissioners. It's a reasonable amount of time. So typically, we want to do 7 to 14 days. But we have to also bear in mind a decision would need to be made by July 22nd unless the applicant requests an additional extension of time, a reasonable extension of time.
Okay. Rebuttal from the applicant.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and start with Mr. Scott's comments about whether or not the golf course is a natural amenity. Again, if you read Luba's decision, the footnote 3 on page 7 expressly states that the petitioner does not argue that the golf course does not constitute an outdoor natural amenity. If Mr. Scott wanted to bring this argument to the fore to challenge the commissioner's decision, he needed to do that the first time around. He could have done that the first time around, and he didn't. He doesn't get a second bite at the apple. He's precluded from raising that issue again now. Notwithstanding the fact that he's precluded from raising that issue now, his argument still doesn't hold water. He talks about the golf course not being a natural amenity and then raises things like hiking trails, which he concludes are natural amenities. But a hiking trail is maintained. In order to have a hiking trail, whether it's volunteers or whoever, they go out and they clear the trail and they keep it maintained so that people have a nice place to walk. It's not unlike a golf course. It's not like the golf course, you know, the grass there came out of nowhere. It's a natural area that has rolling hills, and I'm not familiar with the Abigail Golf Course, but maybe it has other sorts of hazards that are naturally there that form a perfect place to create a course. It is a natural feature of the area, and I argue that it is a natural amenity. But regardless of the fact that he's precluded from this argument, regardless of the fact that I do believe that a golf course is a natural amenity, LUBA itself found that all of the requirements in order to be a private campground have been met by this proposal. That's on page 3 of their decision. They concluded that the proposal is a private campground. And in order to be a private campground, it must have met all of the criteria in Josephine County Code 19.64-040T. So for those reasons, I believe that Mr. Scott's argument regarding the natural amenity issue should be rejected. With regard to the separate utility hookup issue, I'm not quite following what Mr. Scott means by the origin of the utility. There are campgrounds, there are RV parks that I've seen that have areas where RVs can hook up to get water and get electricity, where they're not at every single RV space. And whether you have an extension cord or you go plug in your generator to charge or whatever it might be, it's not just one point of utility, or it's not just one RV at a time that can hook up. So I'm not quite understanding, I'm not quite following Mr. Scott's argument there. But again, the plain language of the rule, both of the county code and the Oregon administrative rule, prohibit separate utility hookups to individual spaces. And again, the plain language definition of separate is not shared with another or individual. And the way that this campsite now has been designed is to have shared utility hookups. By the plain language of the rule, this campground will comply with that, that it will have shared hookups and will not provide separate utility hookups. The last thing I wanted to mention is that I wanted to mention the first time around and didn't get a chance to do so, but one of the commissioners had asked about sewer, and I just want to confirm that the sewer is not what's at issue here. The original proposal did not include a separate sewer system to each RV space. And so you'll see in Luba's opinion that Luba just talks about water and electricity hookups. So that's why we've limited our discussion here to water and electricity, and that those utility hookups would be shared among the campsites. So for those reasons, again, I urge the commissioners to approve this proposal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, council? Seeing none, I'll go to the sur rebuttal. Are allowed at the discretion of the board. So would you like to hear another from Mr. Scott again?
If he has something new to add.
Something to respond.
Yeah, something new.
Yeah. If you have something new, sir.
Well, I have a question, which is that...
Come on up the mic. Make sure you're talking to the mic, yes, so we get it on the record.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Somebody will have to explain to me what shared... In other words, sharing water, for example, would mean that you have one bottle and two people takes a drink out of it. If you have a tank somewhere and this guy has a hose and that guy has a hose, you're not sharing the water. I mean, all the water on the planet is in common, but we don't consider that shared water. So when you say you're taking your utilities to a pedestal between two RVs, once you leave the pedestal, you're no longer sharing. You've got one source over here or taking it over to this site and one's taking it to that site. Now, whether you put the pedestal between the two RVs or you originated separate lines from somewhere else and took it to each one. That makes no difference. The pedestal means nothing in this. The once you take it to an individual on RV, that RV has a separate hookup of water and electricity. And it has nothing to do with the pedestal between it or whether the pedestal was located 10 feet that way or wherever it came from. I mean, all of our electricity comes from one power plant around here, and we don't consider it shared electricity. You have your power at your house, and your house, and I have it at my house. But I don't. That's not considered shared electricity. So that's what we're trying, that's what this is attempting to do, and it just doesn't. I certainly urge the commissioners not to listen to that as anything other than not valid. It's just, there's no engineering science to that. Thank you.
Questions? Commissioner Fowler?
No, sir.
I've just, you know, we talk about shared and we talk about points of origin. I mean, it's all this comes from Bonneville Power Administration. So I guess none of the houses could be done. You're stressing the origin and that shared, that they, if they share a pedestal, that does not, that's still considered to be individual services to each individual space. But in reality, it's, they're sharing it. Please, I'm seeing part of your argument, but I'm not seeing the part that Luba sent it back to us for.
What I'm saying is that when you take it to the pedestal, that's just one source. But as soon as you separate it and go to an individual RV site, which is right next to it in each case, then once you've separated those, then you've taken it to the individual RV sites, which is exactly what they're saying you cannot do, or what our code says we cannot do. And the state code says we cannot do. There is what if it goes to an individual RV, then you have taken it to an individual RV site. There's no way to get around that. The trying to say that you put a pedestal between them doesn't change whether it came from a central location in 25 of these RVs, or you took it to 12 and then you branched it off from there. You could have done that any one of multiple ways, but it has nothing to do with the fact that you're still taking these services individually to an individual RV, which is what is prohibited.
Okay. Any questions?
I got a comment. If this is the right time.
Okay. Well, I think Councillor has, Corinne has something to say. I see her raising her hand.
Well, I have a sir rebuttal to Mr. Scott's comment. If the commissioners would like to hear it,
commissioners.
Well, I'm ready to go into summation and hear the last from each of them. Because okay. There's nothing new coming up, I've noticed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go into summation. Applicant, you have 5 minutes, and I think this is where you can come in, Corinne. You have 5 minutes.
Sure, thank you, commissioners. I'll go ahead and just start from the end here with the issue that we've been discussing with Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott just talked about how, in his opinion, even if there was some central location, like a central bathroom that had electricity and water hookup, that you couldn't take multiple extension cords or lines to different RVs from that central location. And that just does not make sense. That is exactly how campgrounds work. And for this private campground, instead of having a central location, like one bathroom that has those services, those hookups, the plain language of the code itself, again, which mimics the administrative rule states. So this is Josephine County Code 19.64.040T7. It says separate sewer, water, or electric service hookups shall not be provided to individual campsites. It's the hookup, and the hookup is the pedestal. It wouldn't make sense to have RV campsites if they couldn't hook up. How are they gonna get electricity at night to see or to use the stove in the RV? How are they going to get water back in their RVs to use the sink to take a shower or wash dishes? A campsite does have those amenities. The only restriction, the sole restriction here in those rules is that a private campground can't have separate, again, separate meaning not shared with another or individual. You can't have separate utility hookups to individual sites. And by making this a shared hookup campsite, this proposal complies with the plain language of the rules. Again, commissioners, this board has already found that all of the other applicable approval criteria have been met. There are no issues, no other issues on the table. This is the sole issue that LUBA remanded this decision back to the county on. And for these reasons, we've shown that this proposal complies in total with all the applicable approval criteria. There's no basis to deny this proposal. And again, we respectfully request that you approve this proposal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Under summation, item B is opponents. You'll have 5 minutes for state your case.
So again, to readdress what we have here, this letter also states here that the applicant is bringing up new evidence and that the opposition can present new evidence. So if it's new evidence acceptable on both sides, then I'm saying if you want to refer to it being new evidence, that the natural amenity issue is back on the table. And it would be an appeal if we have to. But I certainly would urge the county commission to, what is coming across here is not, there's no engineering science to this. If you, once you hook up to an individual RV over here, and the was pointed out that, well, what happens if they, how are they going to have electricity at night or whatever? There's also called dry docking RVs, and they're not hooked up at all. They go out in the desert and they do that. You can dry dock them. They carry a certain amount of water with them. They carry a certain amount of septic services with them, and all that's built into the RV. So that has nothing to do with anything here. So the individual RV, however it's built, has the ability to stand on its own, or it has to be hooked up. But in that particular case, where the origin of those services are has nothing to do with the fact that once you plug it into this RV, it is very specific to that RV site and the RV that's there. There's no way to get around that. And I certainly urge that the county commission do not buy into this. It's just not applicable science. It's not going to happen. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, gentlemen? Comments?
I think I have one. I was looking on Google Earth. It looks like this has river access. Can you walk to the river? Is there like a field down there and some rocks? There's a natural amenity right there, in my opinion. So I just wanted to make sure that there was access. Thank you.
I see a yes and a no, or a yes and a question. Mr. Scott, well, here we have to say.
There was no river access mentioned in this proposal up until now. So if this is coming in, then we need a whole new application, because river access there, according to ODFW, which submitted information to the planning department, you cannot violate the 50-foot riparian area there. And this is opening it up to the public. This is not even going to be Mr. Bernard walking down there fishing is one thing. But once you open it up to people that don't live there, then you're opening up to the public. That requires special permitting, and we don't have that here. And that was never part of the
original proposal that was submitted to the county.
Members of the board, just a point of order, just a reminder that this remand proceeding is limited strictly to the one issue on remand from LUBA, which is the third assignment of error regarding the individual water and electric hookups to each individual campsite.
Thank you, Augustus. So so you're saying the natural recreation element is not in the remand, so therefore, right. Is that what you're saying, Augustus?
The only issue that's the subject that should be the subject of this remand hearing is the individualized water and electric hookups to each individual campsite. The natural amenities issue was not an issue on remand for the LUBA.
Sorry, but Mr. Fowler just introduced.
Right. I just asked a question.
Asked a question.
And I found out I shouldn't have, so
that's part of this meeting.
Okay, Commissioner Bertrand, do you have any comments, questions?
Yeah, you know.
Limited to the water.
Right.
Water and electricity.
So.
Are we going into commissioner comments? Are we done hearing from the two parties, Chair?
Did you have anything?
Because I think we've
heard the same thing over and over, so I think we're up to here.
Okay.
Comments from the board.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, deja vu from the legislature. You know, whether you're the state legislature or the county drafting ordinance or the city drafting ordinance, you seem never to get it completely right. That's just how it works. The reason I understand this issue and the intent of the legislature, because I was part of the yurt discussion in 2013, and that has to do with electricity and individual campsites and all of that. And it goes back to 1974 to Senate Bill 100, which protects high value resource land in state Oregon. And so when we had the discussion over yurts and campsites and that encompassed state campgrounds and private campgrounds and everything, the legislature was trying to avoid is that you take a campground and turn it into a mobile home park. Okay. And that's where the discussion of not having a electric individual per campsite that you could put a meter on and they could be there forever. Okay. That's what everybody was worried about back then. It doesn't sound like that's what's going on here. I just don't see that's what's going on. And having one pedestal and two RVs hooked up to it, I don't know. Does it really matter? I mean, you talked about dry dock camping. If the applicant wanted to go to dry dock camping and your, Mr. Scott, your opposition to this is because you don't want to deal with maybe looking at RVs and everything. If he could really go to dry dock camping pretty easy, it's a use. And then you're going to listen to 25 generators every night. So I think that I would revisit that methodology of your opposition a little bit in my opinion, because I think having hookups for the RVs would be better than not having the hookups for the RVs in the long run. You know, I know the natural amenities thing, we're not really talking about it. But
right. We're not.
Yeah. Just leave that alone.
Well said.
Yeah. We can discuss that all day long. And those are opinions. But as far as what I see as the intent of the legislature and the intent of the county ordinance, if we meet those intents and not turn this into a mobile home park, then it's probably going to be just fine. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, you know, we've heard this and it's, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that signed the petition and so on and so forth, but can we, as a governing body, you know, we have to look at probably the very best that we think is, you know, is this thing a good thing for that particular area of the valley or is it not? And I'm glad you brought up the meter thing. I wasn't going to do that, but I think, you know, if you were to say, okay, we're going to supply separate service, I don't have service to my home until they plug a meter into it and they start charging me for it. And I don't think that the RV park is charging for electrical service by how much they use. And the intent of it is exactly what the Commissioner Beartrager said. The intent of it is not to create a mobile home park. And that I don't see this creating a mobile home park in any way by virtue of, and we were not supposed to bring it up because the sewer was satisfied by LUBA, the sewer element. So I think it shows a certain amount of creativity on the part of the proponent of the applicant, and shows, you know, taking the actual letter of what it says in there and saying, okay, I'm not doing individual campsites. I'm going to provide a pedestal that they can hook into. And so it's not individual anymore when that pedestal serves two. It is not individual. So I think, James, have you got any suggestions going forward from here? I think we've heard Commissioner Fowler.
I just wanted to add that some of the intention I saw in the rule of not having individual services was that it would be easier to return it to farmland. And so if there's half as many pedestals out there, that does make it easier to return to farmland. And this is how these LUBA hearings go. They end up landing on a super fine pin point, and we have to stay in that area, because we've certainly been here before, Mr. Chair, over at the city and now at the county. And so, but I want to guard against individual freedoms. If it's allowed on someone's property to do something, then I'm not going to try and find a way to get them to stop. I'm going to say, well, if it fits the criteria, then you're in, because it's defendable and takes my opinion out of it. And so I think I'm ready to make a decision on this one.
Point well taken. Commissioner Petrie, you have any further comments? I have none. I'll return it to Mr. Black. Do you have a proposed motion?
I have drafted a proposed motion, if you will. And I'm still a little bit concerned about the what Augustus brought up about testimony. And I want to make sure that issue has been solved before we move forward.
Yeah, I have no problem with removing Mr. Brumbach's testimony.
Is that what we need to do,
Augustus, is officially remove his stricken from the record?
It would probably be easiest and cleanest to strike that comment from the record.
Okay. So okay. Do I need a motion to strike?
No, I think that's a ruling from you.
It's a ruling from me. We're going to strike Mr. Brumbach's comment.
Okay.
And from the record completely. Thank you.
I would suggest a motion to approve the original board's decision with the condition that the RV sites shall use a shared hookup. Pretty simple.
Okay.
If there's
someone want to make that motion.
Yeah, I'd be willing to make that motion as stated by Mr. Black.
I'm willing to second it with comment.
Okay. Is there any further comments or from Commissioner Beartrager? You're up.
Yeah. You know, like I said, being a lawmaker for 8 years in Salem and understanding how the sausage is made, it is very seldom you get it absolutely right. And you have to kind of go back to see what the intent. And when our legal minds look into their statutes, they read the words, and sometimes the words doesn't exactly meet the intent of the person that or the legislature or the county or the city that drafted those statutes or ordinances. So you kind of have to go back to what was the intent of that, and that takes some research. And Augustus could research that and go back to the committees and how all that was written and see what the intent was and what the floor speeches and what the conversations were. I just was part of that at the legislature. So my brain still remembers what the intent was. And the intent was not to take a piece of farm ground that's high value and turn it into a mobile home park. That's really what the intent was, not to do.
Okay. So, you know, reading through all of this, looking at that farm ground, which I know very well already because of my time out in the New Hope area, I don't think we're ruining farm ground, and I don't think we are creating a mobile home park. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Fowler?
Nope. I'm going to stand by my last statements. Thanks.
Yeah, and I'm glad you had your last statement in there, because as this commissioner, I am really, really staunch on when somebody wants to do something and they come to planning, that there's certainly all the tools there in the world to show them how they can succeed in what they want to do. But there's also over here is a list of things, requirements in order for them to be able to do that. And if they meet all those requirements, then I feel real apprehensive to go through reams and reams and volumes and volumes and volumes looking for some way that person can't do what they want. I have a real tough time with that. I think the remedy answers Luba's question and remand back to us. It answers it specifically. If we're going to say individual, they're not individuals now, they're shared. And that right there is the language that we need. It was actually just a few words in there that Luba sent back. And I think the remedy meets that requirement from Luba. So therefore, I'm willing to, we've had motion and a second, and we asked for the comments and questions, and I think I'm ready to call the roll.
Call the
please
question.
Call the roll.
I want to say yes to the application, right? Sometimes you get on the wrong side of those.
Yeah.
Say yes. Yep. The voters panel.
Commissioner
Barrett
Chamberlain?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. And with that, I will end. Yes, sir.
One more item, commissioners. In our code, it says the prevailing party shall prepare the findings of fact for the decision on remand unless the board designates someone else. In this case, the applicant, if they could prepare the findings. I just want to have that placed into the record.
All right.
As well.
Applicant to prepare the findings. With that,
one last thing. We talked about leaving the public record open, but because we canceled the public input, I don't think we have to do that. So wanted to cover that subject before we close.
Yeah, it's even up for both sides by taking Mr. Brumback out of it. So
okay.
With that, with that, we are adjourned at 10:07.
Thank you, Graham.
Books back.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. I know those are usually pretty easy. Because they're facts, man. Just the facts, man. No opinion.